You know, it's probably no surprise to you that I'm not the most patient driver. I have a theory. If people just knew when I was going somewhere and got off the road and got out of my way, things would go so much better. Anyone else like me? All right, so I'm not the only one that I just need people to get out of my way. If there's one drive I hate in all of Omaha, it is merging from 75 north onto 80 west, and you've got to get over three lanes of traffic really quickly, and if it's the wrong time of day, it is crazy, right? So for people like me, that is not a good time. But sometimes, not often, you run into a kind-hearted person who's actually willing to let you in, do you not? When that happens, give thanks to God, because according to research, that person is probably a religious person. But if the research is right, maybe it's not that person, but their fellow worshipers who are responsible for their behavior. Now, there was a study conducted by a Harvard and a Notre Dame professor, so you know it has to be true if it's Harvard and Notre Dame, right? That was published back in 2009 in the book American Grace, How Religion is Reshaping Our Civic and Political Lives, that shows that religious people are 3 to 4 times more likely to be involved in their community than non-religious people. They're more likely to work on community projects, belong to voluntary associations, vote in local elections, attend public meetings, and donate time and money to public causes, including secular causes. The studies also show that religious people in general are just nicer. They do good deeds, help both neighbor and stranger, give money to panhandlers, and let others cut in front of them in line. But this is why you might want to thank the driver's fellow worshipers instead of God. Because the study found that religious people are nicer and better citizens, not because of the religious teaching they receive, and they're not just behaving nicely because they're trying to secure a place in heaven or keep from being judged and sent to eternal damnation or anything like that. They're that way because of the relationships they have in their places of worship. Now, the authors theorize that if someone from your moral community, as they call it, as opposed to, say, someone from your bowling league or civic group, asks you to volunteer for a cause, you're more likely to agree. And the effect of those relationships in your moral community, your religious community, are strong because people who attend religious services regularly tend to behave like the people they associate with. It's not faith that accounts for it, it's faith communities. And faith community relationships are so powerful that the authors call them supercharged friends. That sounds good in our day of superheroes, does it not? Supercharged friends. Now, am I telling you anything new here? I've seen the way that you are friends to one another here. I don't mean how you've been friends to this community, but here inside to each other. Out there, that's a different sermon. I'm not sure I want to preach that sermon. But in here, you're supercharged friends, helping each other in times of need, in times of sickness, in times of grief. You all just do that for one another without even having to be asked. It's amazing how that gets done, helping each other wherever help is needed. You are well-versed in being friends to each other. And that was the situation with Paul and with Silas, who were co-workers and good friends here in the reading from this morning. They were supercharged friends, committed to spreading the gospel and growing the church through their friendship and their commitment to each other. Now, this morning's scripture lesson was a prime example of that. Together, they brought both the slave girl and the jailer and his family into the church by ministering to them personally. And by ministering to them with attitudes that they cultivated within the bonds of their Christian friendship with each other. Their ministry to the slave girl and the jailer and his family was possible only through the fruits of their friendship and only by engaging them one-on-one. And that leads us to the topic of the day, church growth and evangelism. Now, ushers, lock and guard the doors to keep people from running away. I mean, come on, folks, those are not dirty words. And the dirty words that you think they are, there's something we can all do. In fact, they are both things that we need to do. You see, church growth doesn't happen through targeted advertising or by non-worship-based programs that bring people in our doors. It doesn't happen by bigger signs out on the street corner or anything like that. All churches, whether they have 50 or 5,000 members, grow in two ways. One, by people witnessing your public behavior and wanting to be a part of it, to have what you have and be willing to go where you go to get it through supercharged friendships. Now, I belong to the Bellevue Ministerium, which is a union of all of the pastors of all of the churches, of all of the denominations here in Bellevue, which there are something like 43 different houses of worship of various types and flavors and sizes here in Bellevue, if you can believe that. There's only about five or six of us that go, truthfully. But it's always the same kind of people. I have had wonderful experiences with four of those five other pastors in different houses of worship. I have had nothing but unpleasant experiences with one person from one larger church on 36th Street, which will remain unnamed, that really have been truly unpleasant every time we interact. And I'll tell you what, I think part of that has to do with where she belongs. And I will tell you this, I will never go there. If I have a Sunday free, I will not go to that church. I could give you four I could go to, but one I will not. I don't want to be a part of those supercharged friendships that she's a part of. People who witnessed the behavior of Paul and Silas, they wanted to be a part of that thing which fostered the attitudes and the behaviors that Paul and Silas had. And that's one way church grows, by people wanting to be part of where you worship because they respect you and know that that comes in part from where you go. And secondly, people come to church and churches grow by personal invitation, not signposts, not mailings or anything like that. Yes, you do need a personal invitation, just like Paul and Silas gave that slave girl and gave the jailer. Personal invitation and personal relationship. Think about it. It's hard for someone to come into the door of a new church. Big or little, it doesn't matter, right? It's a strange place and it makes you uncomfortable. And what if it's one of those kind of churches? You know, whatever kind of church that is for you. What if it's one of those kind of churches and they do something really weird and you're awkward and you don't know what to do and you don't know how to behave and you don't know when to sit and stand and you don't know the lay of the land? That's just stressful and uncomfortable and makes you nervous, does it not? But if you come on personal invitation and can sit with your friend or your relative who's right there by your side, then it's not so scary. And you have a connection already. You have a friendship in place. Because what if they're one of those kind of churches that sometimes aren't so friendly, and at the end of the service, you're left standing there all alone with nothing to do and no one will interact with you, and it's just awkward. You've got someone here with you. So I ask you, who needs to see the love that we have here for each other? And trust me, it's here. I see it. Yesterday, for Tom and Ann McKinnon's funeral, was a prime example of that. Who needs to see that love we have and needs for you to share it with them here in this place? I mean, you can feel it in the air. You can taste it and smell it every time we gather in fellowship and worship. that feeling is here. Who do you know that needs a supercharged friendship experience in their life to transform them? I know you know somebody. So who are you going to invite? Who will you share your supercharged relationships that you forged here? So that's my challenge for you today, church growth and evangelism. People want to be here because they see you and they want what you have and they want to be like you. Or they run in horror and never want to be like you again. And secondly, people come to our church because you personally ask them and take the time to be here with them and help them to be comfortable in the beginning until they can fit in. So that's your challenge, church growth and evangelism. Now, was that painful? You didn't think I was going to give you flyers and make you go start knocking on doors or something like that. Wrong denomination. All right, it's check-in time for Through the Bible in a Year. Who is still going fairly well in their Through the Bible in a Year? It's not too late to, I don't know, read like crazy, right? At this point, we're in 2 Kings, yes? Or just starting 2 Kings. We're about at this point, we're approaching halfway through Old and New Testament. Now, if you haven't noticed, a few things I want to point out, and I did say this in Sunday school, now we're going to start having problems with the word Israel. Because in the Old Testament, Israel refers to two different things. One is the entire nation of Israel, all 12 tribes, before the split up after King Solomon. Israel also refers to the northern 10 tribes after the nation of Israel splits. So you need to keep your wits about you when you're reading. When you read the word Israel, do they mean Israel or Israel? So that's the first thing I wanted to point out. But the third king, Solomon, the greatest king, well, maybe, who knows? We argue those things. Solomon, David. After Solomon, the kingdom will split into a northern and southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. And they will go on to have separate history. Sometimes they will interact with each other in good ways, sometimes in bad ways. Ultimately, the northern kingdom will fall to Assyria in the 800s BC. And in the 500s BC, the southern kingdom of Judah will fall to Babylon. Two unique histories. As you are reading, though, you will start to notice the names of prophets that sound familiar. Towards the end of 2 Kings, the prophet Isaiah, yes, the big book, Isaiah, in your book of the prophets, will appear, and so on. The other problem that's coming up in the New Testament is after we finish 2 Kings, we're no longer necessarily following a linear history, right? Up to this point, from Genesis to 2 Kings, it's a linear history. Now we get the prophets coming in and everything just starts messing up. So be prepared for all of that. You're not losing your mind. That's just the way the book is organized, the Old Testament. So be aware of that. If you have questions, if you need personal motivation, I would be glad to help you with that personal motivation. Just talk to me. I want you all to succeed with this project. For those of you who have been keeping up, have you been enjoying it for the most part? Some of it is just really fascinating and amazing stuff. It is a world you just, we can't even imagine. But if you're having difficulties or you have questions as you're going through, you know, give me a call or send me an email or just talk to me after church, and I would be glad to answer those questions, because sometimes you do hit on things that are just really bizarre, and you don't even know what to do with them. And now that Sunday school is over for the summer, both good and bad, mostly I'm glad about the rest. I know Linda is too, yes. We don't have that forum so much, so if you are having difficulties or questions, please call me, email me, or talk to me personally, and I'd be glad to talk to you about that. If you have fallen behind, it is not too late. We can make a deal, maybe. All right. So, that's my little aside. But seriously, consider those personal relationships in your life and those people who you know who need to be here, who need to be part of the love that you have for each other and that you so freely share. Amen.